I would encourage you to grab your Bibles with me. Today is March 26th, and the title of our message is, We Lose to Win. We Lose to Win. People who know me well know one of the things in my life that I'm not overly proud of is the fact that I hate to lose. I just absolutely hate to lose. DJ, I have this basketball court in front of my house, and we used to have these pickup games, and people would end up bloody. Bloody knees, bloody elbows, road rashes from being trashed on the rough concrete. And one time after a game, my son says, Dad, are you really that uncoordinated that you foul so bad? And I said, no, I just hate to lose. I just absolutely hate it. I've learned how to lose more graciously as I've become a believer, but I don't like losing, and I don't like quitting, and I don't like giving in. And if any of you can relate with that, I appreciate your comfort and your empathy. But the reality of what we're going to talk about today is that that's not the life of Jesus. That's not the life that the Lord is talking about here in Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 23 through 26. Look at your Bibles with me. And it says this, Then he said to all of them, If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it. What is a man to benefit if he gains the whole world and he loses and forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes to his glory with his Father and his angels. I tell you the truth. There are some standing here who will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God. Look right in the heart of that passage with me at verse 24 and 25. And think about what Jesus is saying to us. Verse 24. For whoever wants to save his life, would you like to save your life? Would you like to be saved? If you want to do that, you have to lose it. You have to give it up in order to save it. Whoever loses his life because of his relationship with Jesus, surrenders to Jesus would be another way to say it, actually gains life. As Denise was sharing with us, that even doing good things in our prayer time, even doing good things of your own strength is not the best. Oftentimes, for some of us who are believers, doing the good things is less than God's best. And the concept that I would like to try to communicate to you today is how to actually lose that life. The old self life, the old flesh life, the old natural life. If you look at your outline, I have some very simple questions that are taken directly from the text. And it says, what is Jesus saying to me? As you sit with me here in church on Sunday, it should have an effect on how you live life Monday. What goes on here on Sunday should have an impact on what happens with you when your stuff, like my stuff this morning, doesn't work on Wednesday like it's supposed to. Or maybe your day will be Thursday this week or Friday. But when things don't work the way they're supposed to, what are you going to do? So the first question right from the text is, do I wish to come after him? He says, if anyone wants to follow me, that's the first question you need to answer. yes or no, do I want to follow Jesus? Now, based on the rest of the context of this piece of Bible scripture, it seems like on a daily basis, you need to make that choice. On a real regular basis, am I going to follow the ways of the world, or am I going to follow the ways of God? To put it quite bluntly, am I going to follow Satan, or am I going to follow the Savior? That's really the life and death decision that you make lots of days, and if your life is anything like mine, several times in any given day. So, do I wish to come after him? You need to write down yes or no. Then, if you say yes, follow on with me. If you say no, then you can just be done, because the rest of this really won't have any bearing on you. If you say no, I don't want to follow Jesus. No, I just want to follow the ways of the world. Then, practically speaking, you're done taking notes and you can doodle. Where do I start? If I want to follow Jesus, where do I start? And your blanks are two. I deny self. I deny self. That's where you start, with denying self. Now, in our culture, there are lots of people who practice self-denial, which is the opposite of denying self. People practice self-denial for personal profit. Athletes. We just watched the Olympics not that long ago. Athletes practice self-denial in order to win the gold medal. That's different than denying self, because the end product, the goal, is different. Denise said earlier, we can do good things. You can practice self-denial, do good things, and have no practical life benefit from it. Denial of self is different. In the beginning of Luke's gospel there, we were reading earlier this week about John the Baptist as we started reading Luke. And one of the passages that I like about John the Baptist is, I think it's in John 3 and it's verse 30. Here's what it says. John the Baptist says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, God is too much of a gentleman to do that for you. He will not force you to decrease yourself so that Christ can increase. He won't make you do that. It's a volitional choice that you do. You decide to become less and less in your own strength, in your own power, in your own abilities. You decide to become less and less so that Christ can become more and more in you. Another place that Jesus talks to us about that is in Matthew chapter 11. And you can write that down as I look it up. And I believe it's verse 29. Matthew 11, 29 is in red letters. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, all of you take up your yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Jesus is saying to you and I in this passage, take up the yoke that I give you, and learn from me, these two things, to be gentle and to be humble. See, I think the humility that he's talking about in Matthew 11, 29 is the same concept that he's talking about here in Luke 9, to deny yourself. Because, see, the way of the world is proud. The way of much of Christianity is proud. That is not the way of Christ. The way of Christ is to deny yourself, to humble yourself, not to be proud, but to be gentle and humble. When you look at your third question there, so what's next? If I decide I want to follow Jesus, if I start by denying self, then what's next? I take up my cross. I take up my cross. See, in Christianity, people are always saying, well, you know, if you surrender your life to the Lord, then what's my part? What do I do when I'm denying myself? Will you take up your cross? Which I think is very similar to the yoke that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke, he says. Take up your cross. See, when Jesus went, later in April, we'll talk about on Good Friday, Jesus going to the cross. He carried his cross. He didn't carry mine. He didn't carry yours. He carried his. When he was crucified, he took upon him my sins. But he carried his own cross. He had to deny himself in the garden and say, not my will be done, Father, but your will be done. I really don't want to do this. Is there any other way we can get this done other than doing it this way? And when his father said, no, he's okay. I'll deny myself and I'll take up my cross. Today, you're going to need to do that if you want to follow him. You're going to have to carry something you don't really want to do. That's a practical side of it. Now, how often do I need to do this is your next question. What's the answer? Daily. Good. Somebody was paying attention as we read. Daily you have to take up your cross. Daily you have to not deny yourself. Daily you have to humble yourself. Daily you have to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit, not live in your own strength. You have to do this all the time. People say, well, what is Christianity all about? It's all about identifying with the resurrected Son, Jesus Christ. And it's done by denying myself and my own abilities, denying the ways of the world, and taking up my own cross, which is in every day a little different in its complexity of what that means. You got to do it all the time. It's never really done. It's kind of like taking a shower. Do you ever take a shower and you're done? You never have to take another one? No. Not really like, although Christ cleansed us of all our sins, there's still an ongoing work in our lives of purity and sanctification and holiness that happens all the time, that you need to continually deal with that. So the next question is, how do I save my life? By losing it, or you could say surrendering it. What I'm challenging you to do is to surrender your life to the Holy Spirit's empowerment. That's how you gain life, is by surrendering to the power of Him. Now, the last question, am I ashamed of Him and His words? Am I on a daily basis ashamed of the words? I wondered this morning as I sat and read my Bible before Julie was even up, I wonder how many of the people that are going to go to church today in the Christian community, not just our little country church, but in church in general, how many of them really read His Word and talk to other people about the truth that they read? How many of them are ashamed of the Bible, so much ashamed that they don't even open it and read it? I think the number is probably large. Of the people who claim to be Christians, who are ashamed of His Word, they don't even read it, let alone talk to other people about it. See, you have to deny yourself and your attitudes, your expectations, your thoughts, and respect His more than yours. Well, I drew a diagram on the bottom of your outline there. It's called the Christ Life Diagram. It begins at the bottom of the diagram with denial of self. You deny yourself. The next step is on the ladder upward. You daily take up your cross and bear it, which when you do that, it leads you to the next level of worship and praise. And the more you're denying yourself, daily bearing your cross, worshiping God, praising God, reading His Word, you begin to expect things from God. It increases your expectation of Him. You begin to develop a mature love relationship with Him. In practical speaking, a friendship with God. The basic reality of Scripture is you're either God's enemy or you're God's friend. But in order to be a friend with God, in order to experience mature love with God, you need to be involved in these things. And once you become friendly and intimate with Him, it gives you spiritual freedom and it gives you the strength to reach out to others. And then you have the resources to minister to people. But it goes upwardly like that. I've confessed to several people this week that I have a bad case of spring fever. Not as bad as some people that I'm wearing shorts and short sleeves yet, but I do have spring fever. And the other day, there was a nice warm moment of time when I was looking out my glass sliding doors and believing that I had survived the winter and spring was coming. And out behind my home was a hawk who was catching a thermal and was rising in the air with no effort whatsoever of flapping his wings. There was a warm thermocline, and he had caught it, or she. I didn't have my glasses on, so I couldn't look underneath and see if it was a he or a she. But that hawk was catching the thermal and was going up and up and up and up without any effort whatsoever, which is an amazing phenomenon. If you've ever done that, it's really fun. One time I jumped out of an Air Force jet with 100 other parachutists from the United States Army, and I happened to hit a hot upward lift of air while everybody else was falling to the ground. I was actually going up. And it's not the normal experience of a parachutist to be going up rather than be going down, and I was a little taken by it, and I looked, and as close as me to Kent was a hawk down in Carolina on the same thermocline as me, and he was kind of looking at me like, man, you got a big wingspan up there with that 40-foot green parachute above you. Now, the good side of it was I got to do something that most people don't get to do. The bad side of it is when I went up, then I didn't end up where everybody else was who went straight down, and consequently, I ended up hung up in a tree and didn't make the military mission that I was supposed to accomplish. But it was a unique effect. Now, in Isaiah, the prophet writes that we would be lifted on the wings of eagles. We would run and not be weary. We would walk and not be faint. And old codgers like me could run with the young bucks and outrun them, just like Joshua and Caleb are doing as we read through Joshua. That's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that I believe is available for us. That we could be lifted up on a thermocline, just like this diagram, raised up, not in our own strength, but in the uplifting thermocline of God's Holy Spirit, we could be carried along, empowered with strength to do things that old people normally can't. And I believe that that's true, that we could actually experience that in our lives. So, where does it start? It starts with you deciding today, this moment, am I going to follow the Savior or am I going to follow Satan in my thoughts and in my actions? Am I going to deny what the world, the flesh, and the devil tell me is valuable and value what God says is valuable? Am I going to do that today? Am I ashamed of the Word? Am I ashamed of His Word? It's pretty serious business to think about. Now, I had a closing worship song on the PowerPoint that doesn't work. Do you think we know? Is that one in the book so we can do that one? Okay. You guys want to come up and do that? And let me throw up a prayer as you're coming. Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in us in a way to woo us and draw us to be willing and wanting to follow You. Willing and wanting to deny ourselves. Willingly and volitionally choosing to surrender to You, to deny ourselves, to take up the cross that's put before us every day, and to not be ashamed of You, but to actually be delighted and honored that You would love us and know us. We pray that You would use this day to change our tomorrow. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.